Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Bava Kama Daf Chaf Hey. We begin at the Mishnah, which is down on Chaf Dalad Amud Beis, around 10 lines from the bottom. So in the Mishnah back on Daf Tes Vav, we had a list of various mu'adim, actually five cases which are considered mu'ad, for which the owner is fully responsible. One of which was shor hamazik b'rishus hanisak. Okay, so an animal caused damage in the rishus, in the territory, in the victim's property. So there, he pays nezek shalem, even though we're speaking about something unusual, right? You know, he gored some aggressive, behavior, but since it took place in the Rosh Hashanah, he's called a muad. He paid nezek shalem. So ketzad? Let's have some examples. Nogach, he gored with his horns. Nogach, he shoved with his body. Noshach, he bit. Rabat, he crouched on something and crushed it. Bat, he kicked. It depends where. B'shus Rabim, that happened in the street. He's just, a tam, not known to be an aggressive animal. Mashalom chatzi nezek, the owner pays 50%. But if it took place, b'rishus hanizek, that's our topic, b'rishus hanizek. So actually, it's a machlik, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, you pay fully, nezek sholim. So the halacha changes because it took place in rishus hanizek, and we're going to see in a minute, it's based on a kal v'chomer. They say no difference where it took place, whether in the street, whether in his private yard, you pay chatzi nezek until you become habitualized and it becomes regular behavior. Amalem Rabbi Tarfon, he turned to the chacham. I'll prove my point. Uma b'makim shehekel ala shein v'ala regel. Just a rabbi. We have a situation where the Torah applies a leniency, a kula. If an animal eats or steps on something while walking, shein v'regel, right? If it happens, but it's just a rabbi in the street, he has a right to go there, full right to be there. We learn from a pasuk which says ubir b'stei acher. These things only liable if it took place in the victim's territory. So if it took place, but it's just a rabbi in the street, shu pater, right? You're totally exempt. So it has that downside, right? Despite that downside, we have an upside as well. Hechmer alein, rishus hanizek, l'sham nezek shalom. But if these same activities, shein v'regel, take place in rishus hanizek, you pay fully. So on the street, it's nothing. In rishus hanizek, it's 100%. So it goes from 0 to 100. Certainly, of course, by keren, where you pay something in the street, chatzi nezek, certainly goes up to 100% if it's in rishus hanizek. Mokim shehechmer ala keren, b'rishus haram l'sham chatzi nezek. We have a situation like keren, where if it takes place in the street, you still pay 50% if it's a tam. Of course, einoidin, doesn't it make sense? Shanachmer, Allah b'shusanizuk, l'shalom ezek shalom, if it takes place in shusanizuk, you go up to 100%. If you can go from 0 to 100, you certainly go from 50 to 100. So that's how I got to my point, says Rabbi Tarfon, that even a keren tama pays 100% in shusanizuk. Amr Lai, the Chacham responded, you have a solid kal v'chomer, but there is a formula that we have to follow whenever we present a kal v'chomer. It's called dayoy, which is actually the buzzword, so to speak, of today's sugya. Dayoy. Sufficient, enough. You're limited. Dayoy lovoy min hadin. When something is derived from it, from a din, from a kal v'chomer, it can't exceed in value, in importance, in severity to the source material that he's learning from. Dayoy lovoy min hadin, it can't be greater than that source material. And since this kal v'chomer is based on what? We're saying, well, certainly keren, which is chayiv 50% in the street, is chayiv in rishus hanizek as well. One second. You're basing it on rishus harav. That's the sort of the jump-off point, right? So we have to compare it to the source. Ma b'rishus harav chatzi nezek. Right? Keren Rishus Ram provides sort of the springboard. So we have to compare it to the Rishus Ram, which is Chatzin Ezek. Af Rishus Hanizek, Chatzin Ezek. Likewise, if Keren takes place in Rishus Hanizek, you pay 50%. You can't go off from 50 to 100. Amar lehem, so, you know, Rabbi Nachman says, look, okay, I'm not going to argue this point. The Gemara actually goes into a bigger discussion about this, but let's just stick to your, you know, let me relate to your wavelength, so to speak, right? Amar lehem, Rabbi Nachman responds. Even if we do have to apply this concept called dayoi, so derivative can't be greater than the source. Okay, let's say. But still, let's rearrange the Kal v'chomer in a manner which will circumvent this issue. Okay? Amar lehem, af ani lo yamarti, lo adam, keren keren. Instead of keren, which is Ram bringing the, being the springboard for keren and shusan izik, which creates a sort of equation, lo adam keren keren. I'm not going to learn one keren from the other. Ani adam keren mi regel. I'm going to arrange the Kal v'chomer in a manner where I'm learning keren v'shusan izik is nedek sholim from the fact that shein v'regel in v'shusan izik is nedek sholim. Listen to this. So it's basically the same, we're heading to the same goal, but via a slightly different route, which avoids this dayoy issue. Uma b'mokim shehekel ala shein v'regel v'shusan izik. We find that shein v'regel is pater v'shusan izik. Still, hechmer b'keren, but keren in the street is chayiv. So in this street, in Shusha Rab, where Shein Regal is Potter, Karen is somewhat chayiv, chatzi nezik. Certainly, of course, in Shusha Nizik, Mokim Shehechmer ala Shein, Valer Regal, Shusha Nizik. Let's go over to Shusha Nizik. Shein Regal over there is fully responsible. Certainly, of course, Einoy Din Shenachmer b'Karen, of course, Karen should be fully responsible. So now it's based on the fact that Shein Regal is chayiv, Shusha Nizik, and there it's 100%. So Karen, likewise, 100%. Derivative is exactly like the source. But still, the Chacham say, look, you know, you can rearrange the Kal v'chomer in all different ways, but ultimately, if not for the fact that Keren would be Chayiv Chatzi Nezek in the street, you wouldn't have this whole, you know, formula. So ultimately, it is rooted in the fact that Keren is Chayiv in the street, and how much the Chayiv in the street Chatzi Nezek? Can't go past that. You can't be Mechayiv, you can't obligate a Keren Chatzi Nezek more than 50%. Amar lo dayoy lo bimin adin is kanida, in the same idea, the derivative can be greater than the source. Ma b'shus ram chatzi nezik, just like Karen in the street is 50%. Ahaf likewise b'shus nizik, it's also going to be chatzi nezik. But it would seem that Rabbi Tarfon wasn't really concerned with this whole dayoy situation. For Rabbi Tarfon, let's lay dayoy. He doesn't hold of dayoy. Fact of the matter is, he had no problem generating a halacha greater than the source, right? This idea of dayoy is based in the Torah, on the Torah. It's sourced in the pasuk. The sanyo, we have a pasuk. Brisa discusses the sugi of Miriam Hanavia, who spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, and ultimately she suffered when she was afflicted with tzara'as, and she had to stay out of town for 7 days. The sanyo, we didn't call the chaim ketzet. We have a brisa. It's called Braisat Rabbi Shmuel, which gives us a listing of all the different, you know, formulas. Rashi says Yud Gimel Midos Shatayra and Dreshes Behem. You know, 13 formulas, one of which is the Kal v'chomer. Where do we find Kal v'chomer in the Torah? Midin Kal v'chomer Ketzer. Vayemer Hashem al Moshe. Hashem tells Moshe, V'avia Yorak Yorak b'faneh. Imagine Miriam's father would have spat in her face, would have embarrassed her. Halay to call him Shiva Siyam, she would have embarrassed, she would have been secluded for 7 days. Right? That would have happened. Even if it would have been a person that insulted her, she would have sort of backed out, stayed away, stayed out of the community for 7 days to atone for whatever it is that she, you know, deserved, right? Certainly, if Hashem's Kavayachal there's some sort of issue there, and there's an einish that is deserved. So certainly, you stay out for 14 days. 7 days is, you know, between people, and certainly if it pertains to Hashem, for whom we have much greater honor, certainly the consequence is a 14-day quarantine. So it goes from 7 to 14. This is a Kal v'chomer. So really, it should be 14, but it can't be. Eloh dayoy lovim min adin. Once again, this idea that you can't generate, you know, a halacha greater than the source. And if by Aviyah it's 7 days, by Shechina it's also 7 days. It's a Bryce and Teres Koyanim. We don't seem to have any, you know, anybody disagreeing with this Bryce. So it's based on a pasuk. Says the Gemara, you're right. Ki lesle daya. You know when Rav Tarfon sort of ignores the daya concept? Heichad mifrach kavachim. Where if you apply the daya, it renders the entire kal vachomer pointless and useless. Such as by the halacha in our Mishnah. To prove that Karen pays 50% in Rosh Hashanah, guess what? It's obvious. It's simple. You don't need a kal vachomer from that. It's no worse than the street. So if we would limit it to chatzi nezek, then you could just toss out the entire kal vachomer. It's pointless. So you can't apply dayoy if it's going to render the kal vachomer pointless. Evidently, in this case, we ignore dayoy, we suspend dayoy, and we allow the kal vachomer, yeah, to generate a halacha which is greater than the source. In this case, it's kerem, which is hanizek nezek shalom. Heichad limit for kal vachomer. But certainly in a case where kal vachomer does not get affected by a dayoy, we can have the kal vachomer and dayoy, and they're both, you know, beautifully compatible with each other. Islay dayoy, of course, even Rav Tarfon agrees to apply dayoy. For instance, in the case of Miriam, Hassam, over there, Shiva de Shechina like Sivi. There is no source, there's no mention in Torah anywhere that when there's Shechina upset at you, you have to stay away for 7 days. It doesn't say anywhere. So how does one know how to behave when he encounters this type of circumstance? Also, kal vachomer, I see. Abreser. So kal vachomer comes along and says, look, if it happened with your father, you stay away for 7 days. Out of shame, out of embarrassment, out of deference to the father. Certainly by the Shechina, it should be 14. So without the kal vachomer, you would know nothing. So it took it from 0 to 14. Comes the kal vachomer and says, you know what? Bang it down to 7. Also, dayoy apik shiva, took out 7, uki shiva, and left 7 behind. So the kal vachomer is still in existence, even though you limited it through the dayoy. Again, without the kal vachomer, you would know nothing. What do we do by Shechina? Nothing. I don't know. So we have a kal vachomer from the father. Father said, well, Shechina is certainly 14. Dayoy says, no, bring it down 7. But the kal vachomer still generated some halacha, still taught us something. Avalacha, back to our Mishnah. Oh, the Gemara explains that. Back to our Mishnah with the chatzi nezek. The nezek shalom. Avalacha chatzi nezek siv. The pasuk clearly says that when a shor is negeach, you pay 50%. Whether it happened in the street or anywhere. Right? So you already know that if it happens in chatzar nezek, you pay 50%. Without a kal vachomer. But also kal vachomer. So what do you need a kal vachomer for? Kal vachomer comes and says, but I see chatzi nezek achmina. Adds another 50%. Well, if 50% in the street, it's only 100%. If it's in Shushan Nezek. V'nasa Nezek Shalom, it turns into 100%. So now, we dash as dayi. If you apply the dayi to bang it back down, to limit it to 50%, you've undone the entire Kavachem, Ifrachai Kavachem. So, everybody agrees. Typically applied dayi. But Rav Tarfon holds that that's only provided the Kavachem still stands and still has purpose. So in the case of the Shechina, of course, it makes sense to apply dayi. But not in the case of the Keren Bershus HaNizuk. For Rabbanon, Rabbanon respond, Shiva the Shechina Ksivi. Tisoger Shiva Siyom. They hold, you can't differentiate between Miriam and the case of the animal, of the Keren. Because you're saying that, you know, the kal vachomer there is being refuted. In the case of the Keren, kal vachomer is being refuted if we apply the dayoy. But in the case of the Miriam, the kal vachomer would be generating some knowledge, even with applying the dayoy to it. Because without the pasuk and the kal vachomer, we wouldn't know anything about what happens when the Shechina gets upset at you. So the kal vachomer there is teaching you something. even though you're limiting it to 7 days because of the diet. Rabbanan disagree. No, Rabbanan, Shiva the Shechina Ksivi. We don't need a Kavach Chaymer to teach you what to do when the Shechina gets upset. Of course you're locked out for 7 days. Tisagir Shiva Siyam. We have the other part of the pasuk which says clearly that you get quarantined for 7 days when the Shechina is upset at you. Right? So, bottom line is, even without the Kavach Chaymer, you already know that it's a 7 day period. So now the Kavach Chaymer comes and tells you 14, that's all it's telling you. It's going from 7 to 14, and now if we apply Dayoy back to 7, you've obliterated the Kavach Chaymer and rendered it useless. So apparently, even in that type of circumstance, you apply Dayoy. That's a Chacham's approach. So sort of back and forth. Rabbi Tarfon responds, no. How to Sager? This pasuk to Sager Shivasyom. Actually, the Dashin and Dayu is coming to tell you about Dayu. So the starting point is like this: father gets upset. It's a 7 day punishment. Comes the Kavach Chaymer now and says, well, when Shechina is involved, it's only 14. Comes the pasuk to Sager Shivasyom. You should know Dayu. This is where we learn Dayu from. No, it's only 7 days. Rabbanan respond. Ksiv Krachrin. Rabbanan used the pasuk to Soge Shivas Yomim to tell you the basic halacha that when Shechina is involved, it's a 7 day punishment. Had it in Ol Dayoy, a different pasuk. Ksiv Krachrin, but to Soge Miriam, the pasuk says there that she went away for 7 days. So we see that ultimately it was only a 7 day punishment. Rabbanan. So what does Rabbi Tarfon do with that pasuk, which seems to be an extra pasuk? Ha'huda filu ba'alma darshin and dayoy. To teach us that the dayoy concept applies everywhere, not just in the case of Miriam. Blake Tamer, don't say it was just a very specific, you know, reason in this case. Ha'cha b'hiyam shum kvayde shal Moshe, because of the cover, out of honor to Moshe Rabbeinu, because he davened to protect Miriam. So that's why Hashem sort of limited it to 7 days. But typically, when we have a Kavach Chaymer, we don't necessarily say Dayay. That's what the pasuk says. It's a Sager Miriam. It's a repetition to tell you, no. Every Kavach Chaymer must conform to Dayay. Okay, so bottom line is like this. All seem to hold to the concept of Dayay. It's based on a pasuk, a brisa. The only thing is Rabbi Tarfon holds that a Dayay cannot obliterate a Kavach Chaymer. The only way we can apply Dayay if we still have some sort of accomplishment through the Kavach Chaymer. If it sort of renders the Kavach Chaymer useless and pointless, then we ignore Dayay. Rather, we prop up the Kavach Chaymer. Such as, in the case of the Sher HaMazik, Rishus HaNizik. Keren, pays Chatzin Nezik in the street, or Rishus HaNizik. Makes no difference. So, now we have a Kavach Chaymer. If it's done, the Kavach Chaymer is telling you, lift it up, upgrade him. Keren, Rishus HaNizik is Nezik Shalom. And we do this despite the fact that it's sort of going against the Dayoy formula. So we're assuming that everybody, every Tana holds of Dayoy, you know, some way or another. V'hai Tana, the Leidar is Dayoy, I'll find you a Tana, but does not subscribe to Dayoy, even though it does not negate the Kavach Chaymer. He just does not hold of Dayoy, this Ani. Keri b'zav minayim. So I have a man who's a Zav, who experienced an emission of a very specific liquid, which made him tummy. And then he saw a different type of liquid, which is keri. So we know that the ziva, the actual liquid, is metame, whether by touching it or by lifting it, mago, b'masa. What happens to the keri material, which was produced by a zav? Does it also have the same severity that it's going to transfer tumma through touching or through carrying it? The son, the keri b'zav minan. How do we know that it's so? That a zav's keri has the same tumma as the zoiv. It's metame b'mage b'mas. V'dinu, it's based on a Kavach Chaymer. Ma tor. Since we find that saliva, which is tor, nothing wrong with it, b'tor, if it is produced by a person who's tor, no problem. Still, that same type of saliva, that same type of material, tummy, is considered tummy. Bitame, if it comes from a zav, that's the halacha, that zav spits, his saliva is metame. So certainly, of course, tame, something which is has the properties of tuma, such as the keri liquid, bitar, even if it's emitted by a person who's tar, but the keri is tame. And then certainly this same type of material, she tame betame, should be considered fully tame when it's produced by a person who's tame. And therefore we say that a keri coming from a zav is metame b'magu b'masa, because ma'isi lo bein l'magu bein l'masa. Based on the Kav HaChomer, we're going to apply the tumas maga and masa to the keri produced by a zav. The question is why? The keri of a ordinary person is not metame maga u'b'masa. It's just metame b'maga by direct contact. So how do you know that the keri material coming from a zav carries both properties of tumah, maga and masa? V'amai neima hani kav chomer l'maga. Let's apply diet. We should say the kav chomer teaches us that the substance is metame b'maga, just like if it would be produced by a regular person, which is the basis for the kav chomer, right? But you can't go past maga, otherwise you're running into daya. You can't have the derivative, in this case the carry from a zav, be more severe than the source material, which is the carry of an adon tar. Perhaps you'll say the reason why we ignore daya is because otherwise there's no point for the kavachayma, as we said before. Otherwise you don't need any kavachayma to tell you that the carry of a zav is metame b'maga. That's basics. Lagara Megavra Tar, no worse than a Tar who produced Keri. So that's obvious. That's baseline. And if we have a Kav HaChomer, apparently it's coming to upgrade it to Masa. That's why we ignore the Daya. Well, says the Gemara, who says that's baseline? Who says that's understood? Maybe we need a Kav HaChomer for basics as well. In this case, Istrich, Sagat Tachmin, perhaps I would say, Mikra Lailuksiv. And the Torah, in describing Tumas Keri, says it happened as a happenance at night. So perhaps we'll learn like this. This whole concept that the Keri is metami is only if the Keri experience caused him Tumah. He's an ordinary person, a regular Torah, who became a Baal Keri. So he has this halach. As opposed to a Zav, who's no longer reliant on Keri to become Tami. He's already Tami regardless. He's Tami because of something else. Perhaps he doesn't have the same halacha. Mashmon, that's why the Pasuk has to come tell you, based on the Kav HaChomer, that his Keri is Metami b'maga. But who says you have to go past Maga? Well, Midi V'loi Devar Acha Ksiv. Where do we find the Pasuk? V'loi Devar Acha. Only because of Keri is Tami, not because of something else. Who says? It makes any difference. So bottom line is, any person who sees Keri, that Keri is metame b'maga. Why do we need a Kav HaChomer now? Evidently to upgrade it, to give it added severity, that the Keri of a Zav is metame b'maga b'masa. And therefore we don't have the luxury to apply Daya in this case, because otherwise there's no Kav HaChomer. Okay, continues the Gemara. Uman Tana d'shamas le'do amar. Where do you find a Tana that holds Shech v'zera shel Zav metame b'masa? That in fact, the Keri, Shechazer, is the same material of a Zav, is Metame, not only B'maga, but also B'masa, which is a more severe form of Tumah, even by indirect association. Let's find a name. Let's put a name to the face. Loi Rebbe Lezer, Loi Rebbe Shua, can't be either of these. This non, we have a Mishnah. Shechazer, Shal Zav, this material of the Zav, Metame, B'maga, B'maga, B'masa. There you go. The Rebbe Lezer? That can't be. So it's not Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Shua, Ima, Af, Metame, B'masa. You should know, it carries potential for tumas masa as well. You know why? Because the shich vazera, the carry, you know, inevitably has some mix, some remnants, some, you know, droplets of ziva material, because it's coming from the same area. So bottom line is, it's really not metame b'masa. It's only because of the other content within it. Adkan lekam Rabbi Shua Hasam. Even over there, Rabbi Shua is just saying because of the droplets. Without that element, why it would not be metame b'masa? So evidently, these two tanoim do not hold of this sheet that, you know, that the carry the shepazera of Ezov is metame b'masa. So who is he? Elahai tano. It's not lemalam ahen. We have a Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Kalim. We have sort of almost the highest forms of tuma, which is called the avah tuma, asheret shechvazera tmeimes, and all these are only metame b'maga. what is considered a category higher than these? That are matame even b'maso, l'malaman. Zov yishal zov, there you go, the ziva of a zov, v'roika yispit v'shichva zaroi, u'memi raglov. His urine, the dam anida, the dam avanida, all these are matam and b'magu b'maso, they have the highest form of tumah. So you see that the shichva zera of a zov is matam b'maso. Well, says Gemara, who says it's by its own right? Maybe here as well, it's because of that mix-up. Maybe because it has these droplets of ziba within it. And if that would be the reason, it wouldn't, the Mishnah would not list it in this order. It goes from ziba to roig to shivcha zera. It would put zoiv and shivcha zera together because it's associated. The reason why shivcha zera is time is because of the ziba within it. It wouldn't separate it. It wouldn't go zoiv and then roig and shivcha zera. There's a deeper meaning behind the order. In Cain, if that would be the case, l'snayi gabi zoiv, it would put zera with zoiv together because it's all the same, reason. Ma'ish no diktoni lo gabi roik. Why did we put roik and then shichva zera? El mishum da'asi mi roik. Because of this reason that shichva zera of a zov is metame magda of a maso because of the kavuchaymer from roik, which we had in Amun Aleph. That's the sort of the hidden message being presented by this Tana. You should know that it's metame magda of a maso, and here is the Tana that we're looking for. Okay, let's go back to this concept of dayoy. Is there anybody that disagrees with dayoy? So far, we haven't found any, right? We know the Tarfon says sometimes, you can't reckon with dayoy, but in concept, he agrees with dayoy. Amalei Rav Acha Mediftu Ravina. I'll find you a Tana. V'hai Tana, l'darish dayoy. Here's a Tana, it doesn't know the dayoy. V'avga limit for Kavachim, even though the dayoy does not negate the Kavachimer. So there's no direct clash between the two. Still, he doesn't hold of dayoy. The Sanya, here's a price. You have a mapatz, which is a mat made of reeds on which you can lie, you can use for like a mattress. Mapatz b'meis minayin. How do we know that even though it's not really a garment, it's not a kli, right? It's not made of leather, it's not made of wood, it's just a flat mat. How do we know that it is susceptible, it could be makabel tumah from a mace? If it's sitting in the oil of a mace, right? Under the same roof as a mace, it becomes tam. Now, how do we know that? Ma puts b'meis minai. V'dinu, it's based on the kavachem. Uma pachem ketanim. You have small containers. As she says, klei cheres. Small earthenware, containers. Pottery. Very narrow openings. Shetohirim b'zav. They cannot accept tumah from a zav, because Rashi says the opening is so teeny, he can't even put his finger in. He can't access the interior of the klei cheres, and we know klei cheres is only going to be makabel tumah from inside, not from the outside. So he can't access the zav can't access the interior. So there's no way that the klei is makabel tumah from the zav. Still, you should know metame b'meis. A klei cheres is metame from a meis. It's sitting in a house with a meis, it becomes tame. The tumah sort of flies through the little narrow opening and makes it tame. So again, the pacham tanim that are protected from the zav, but us vulnerable to the mace. Certainly the mapats, this mat that we spoke about, shematamid b'zav, that can become tummy through a zav, because if he lies on it, it's called mishkav azav, it makes a tummy. Ein adin shitam b'mace, of course, it's vulnerable to tumas mace. B'kamaisila, and based on this kamachemer that we have just presented, we now applied what type of tumah to the mapats. Bein l'tumas erev, whether it's a one-day tumah, Bein l'tumas shiva. So we say that it can become tumah, either a lighter tumah or a heavier tumah. Right? Basically, it has potential for every type of tumah. For instance, if it's sitting in oil amaze, it becomes tumah for 7 days. So if it can contract a lower tumor, but even a very severe tumor. So let's say an ava tumor touches it. Maybe it's only tummy for 1 day, but if it's sitting in an oil mace, it gets the highest form of tumor for 7 days. And this is based on the kal v'chomer. V'amai, why? 1 second. What about dayoy? Eima, we should say like this. Ahani kal v'chomer tumas erev. We should say like this. Well, the mappets, which can accept tumah from a zav. Once I hold it, stop right there. And how long is it going to be tummy for? For one day, tumas er until evening. So you know what? Granted, if it's sitting in oil hamez, it becomes tummy, but just for one day, dayoy. Vahani dayoy lafuki tumas shiva, and dayoy will come and knock down tumas shiva. You can't be tummy for seven. No, you're going overboard. Amrali, so this was a question asked to Ravina. Here we go. A Tana does not hold of dayoy. He generates a halacha through a kavachemer, resulting with a more strict and severe and a greater breadth than the source itself. Amrali, so Ravina responds, Kvar Ramani Alir of Nachman Rav Zecharia. This was asked of Nachman, Labai to Abai. He asked the same question. But Amrali, Abai and Abai responded, No. This does not contravene dayoy. Tana mimapots b'sheret maisila, because the Tana was actually learning it differently. He was learning it from the halacha of mapots, the mat, by the sherets. Here we go. Vachikam as follows: mapots b'sheret minay. He wasn't coming to learn mapots by mace. He was coming to learn that a mapots can become tummy from touching a sherets. Mapots b'sheret minay. So Rashi explains that the mapots by the sherets will we learn right now through the Kal Vachomer, and the mapots by the mace that's going to come later from a gzeirah shava, not based on the Kal Vachomer. Okay, mapots b'sherets minay. How do we know that a mapots can become tummy through touching a sherets? But this is based on the Kal Vachomer. Umah pachin tanim, right? Those small clay cheresh at hirim bezav. Not vulnerable to the Zav, Tmei and Besheretz. Still, a little teeny, Sheretz. Rashi says, a Sheretz can be smaller than the finger of a Zav. Even the size of a lentil. So it can sort of sneak right in, could slide right into the little narrow opening of the Kli Cheretz. So that's how we get to the point of Tmei and Besheretz. Pacham Tanak will come through a Sheretz. Even though it's Torah by a Zav, Tamei by the Sheretz, Mapash, Tamei b'Zav, a mat which can become Tamei through association with Azov, being used by Azov, in Adin, certainly Yishei Tamei B'Sheretz, it gets affected by the Sheretz. So now we know, through Kavachem, we know that just like the Mapatz becomes Tamei through Azov, a one-day Tumah, same thing happens if he comes in contact with the Sheretz, one-day Tumah, so it's a fair deal. One day. Now we go to the next level, a Mapatz B'Meis Minan. How do we know that a Mapatz can come Tamei by a Meis, and now it's for 7 days? Not based on Kavachem. That would be problematic. It's not based on Kavachem. Now how do we know that? Shnemar Beged v'ur b'sheretz. We have the term beged and ur, garment, leather, by the tumah of sheretz. We have a pasuk there. V'nemar beged v'ur, the same lashon b'meis, by tumas meis. We connect the two through gzeirah shava. Ma beged v'ur ha'omer b'sheretz. Ma pitz tummy boy. Just like by the sheretz, which has the lashon beged v'ur, we know that a mapitz becomes tummy there. As we said a minute ago through the kavachaymer, af beged v'ur ha'omer b'meis. Ma pitz tummy boy. There you go. So now we have gzeirah shava. Just like mapots can become tummy by a sheretz, likewise can become tummy by a mace, and it's based on a gzeirah shava. Therefore, you can't, ask, well, dayoy, it's not based on kal vachomer. So, although the mapots by the sheretz is only tummy tumas erev, but by the mace, it's tummy shema shiva. So, let's do more 1 second. Before you go away, mufna. Evidently, this gzeirah shava is free and available, meaning the words being used for the gzeirah shava are specifically earmarked and designated for this purpose. Why are you saying that? Dilei mufrim, because otherwise, ikal mifrach, you can try to refute the kavachemer. But if they're free and available for the kavachemer, it's as though, Rashi explains many times, it's as though it's the pasuk actually said it right over here. So that's what mufna does to us. It disallows any sort of, opposition to the gzeirah shava. Because otherwise, you can say like this, dilei mufna, ikal mifrach, we can sort of differentiate between Sheretz and Tumas Mace. You think Mace is the most severe Tumah? Oh, not necessarily. Mala Sheretz. Perhaps Sheretz has a severity over Mace. Shekein Metamei B'Kadosha. You need a less amount of a Sheretz Metamei, the size of a lentil. Tainer of Mace as opposed to Mace. Shekein Metamei B'Kadosha. Kadosha is not enough. You need Kazayis. Elba Kazayis. La'ai, correct. Afni Mufner. Obviously, yes. The words here are free and available, which creates a bona fide, irrefutable gzeirah shava. Why? Why is it available? Michti. Let's analyze the pasuk again. Sheretz iskash l'shichva zera. We find elsewhere that sheretz too much eretz is connected to the too much shechazera. Dechsev ayisha sheteitzim menu. It says shechazera. Samachlei next to it says ayisha sheigav chal sheretz. So we have a connection between sheretz and shechazera. Now uksibi b'shechazera ready by shechazera we have a positive chal beg chalar ashiel shechazera. So we have the description of the beg and the ur. They're vulnerable to shechazera. And once we know that sheretz and shechazera are sort of in the same boat. So that leads to the question: Beged va'er dekasi rachmana b'sheretz lamedi. Why does the Torah have to repeat that a sheretz can matami beged va'er? We know that already from the fact that he's going to relate to shechazera, which has that ability. So these words beged va'er are totally extra superfluous to allow for irrefutable zereshava between sheretz and tumas meis regarding the tumas maplets. One second, kati mufnim tzad echadu, but it's only available on one side. Meaning you've just proven that beged va'er by sheretz is available; it's unnecessary. So you have a free, you know, available gzera shava, but only on one side of the equation you're connecting sheretz, so there it's available, but by mace the words are not free and available. So that works fine according to the shita, that if you have a mufna on one side of the gzera shava, one side is totally free and available, so lemeidim allows us to derive a meshivin without refuting. Sharp, so you're good to go. But according to the shita, it says unless it's totally free and available on both sides, you can try to learn it out, but you can refute it if you have a way to do so. Michael Amos, now we're stuck. All right, do we have to compare Meis, which needs a Kazayis, to Sheretz, which only needs a Kadosh? Answer is, the Meis Nami Afnuyi Mufna. The term, Beged Ba'er by Meis, is also available, also extra. Why? Michti, let's take a close look here. Meis iskash to shechazer. We find elsewhere that meis and shechazer go together. Tachsiv anegev chutmei nefesh, oy isha sheteitzmen shechazer. Okay, so we have that connection. Uksiv bebi shechazer. We know that shechazer already says these l'shoynes. B'chal beged, b'chal or, ashiyiv al shechazer. So now, once we know that by shechazer, and we know meis is connected, so now beged va'or, because rachmana be meis. Lomeli, why does the pasuk have to repeat beged va'or by meis? It's extra. Shmamen lafnuye. It's totally extra on both sides now. On the mace side and on the sheret side. Now the mufne mishne tzadim. Okay, great. So we have a mufne on both sides, and there we go. We lock up the gzera shava, and now we know that mapatz is metame not only by sheretz but also by mace. Says the Gemara. This is based on the fact that the words beged ba'or by mace are unnecessary because they can be learned out of shechvazer, right? Hold it, says one second. Hanichal madama. This is all good and well according to the Shita. Doin minoa v'gubasra. When you import something, let's say, you know, A, in this case, A is, let's say, mace. Importing from the Alach of Shechazera, let's call it B. A is importing from B, that just like there, Beged Va'er is Tama here as well. Doin minoa, so you learn from there. V'gubasra, you bring it back home. You import it back into the context of Tumas mace. And whatever Allah has applied to other Tumas Meis, which is a 70 Tumah, applies to Beged Va'er. So then you're good. So it could have all been learned from there. There's no reason for the Torah to repeat it, and you're with an extra phrase, which allows us for the Gzera Shava Mufna, etc. El Lamadam, we're going to the other Shita, which says, do you mean no? Sure, you can learn, feel free to learn from B. U mean no, but you have to stick to B. You have to bring it in totally, full package. Michael Amemers, now we're stuck, because basically if you're going to learn Beged Va'er from where? From Shechvazera to Meis, well then it has to conform to the Lachas of Shechvazera. It's only a one day Tumah. Amar Rav, no, that's not a kash. Amar Kra V'chibasta Bigdeichem by Mashvi, and then it says V'itaharu. It's an extra lashon, V'itaharu, to tell you Tahara is achieved with respect to Tumas Meis. Tahara is achieved by a 7 day process period. It's an absolute process. No discounts. Kol tumah shatem metamen b'meis. Any tumah you experience by meis, lo yipchus mishiva, it's never less than 7 days. So bottom line is, yogzeres hakasav. So whether it's an item discussed locally, whether it's imported from elsewhere, it's still going to conform to the same guidelines, 7 day tumah. So there's no reason to hesitate to learn something from elsewhere and bring it in here. So basically it's an extra pasuk. Beged Va'er is an extra pasuk, which allows for this open side gzera shava, mufna mishnei tzadim, totally available, and we know the mapatz is metamei by the mace as well. So we thought we found a shita which did not hold up dayay. Turns out that we're all safe and sound. So that's really the topic of today's sugya. We learn from Kal v'chomer many times, but there's a halacha called daya. You can't go past the source. We thought there was some dissenting view. We did not discover any dissenting view. However, we did find that Rabbi Tarfon held that daya is somewhat limited, and is only applied when the Kal v'chomer will still have something to say for itself, as opposed to the case of the Keren, where without a Kal v'chomer, I would also responsible for the Karen in Rosh Hashanah. So why do we need a Kavach Chaim? Oh, evidently the Kavach Chaim is now going to upgrade it from Chatzin Nezek to Nezek Shalom. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.